The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Well, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 2. Matthew chapter number 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 12. Hope all of you had a blessed Christmas and good time with your family and with your friends. And it was a joyous occasion. I received a late gift, and that's a cold. Today seems to be the worst day of all, but it's all right. Pastor Ainsworth, our founding pastor, used to say, you can be just as sick at church as you can at home, so you might as well just go to church. So anyhow, that's been my mantle all through these years. It might not be yours, but I'm not shaking hands. I'm kind of in quarantine, so if I don't shake your hand on the way out, you know why. Keep your distance. Keep your distance. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, as we begin reading, the Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way." Let's pray. Lord, again, thank you for the opportunity that you've given all of us to gather here today. Thank you already for the special music and the fact that we've just lifted up our voices and we have worshiped you through song and through praising you in that way. Thank you now for this part of the service, the preaching of your word. Lord, help us, again, as an act of worship, just to block out the cares of the day or things going on in our lives, and just for the next several minutes, just listen to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit as the Word of God comes forth. Lord, teach us this morning. Draw each of us closer to you. Truly, if there's someone here today that has never received Christ as their Savior, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd move upon their heart, convicting and convincing them of their need of a Savior, convicting them and convincing them of the reality that they're sinners, lost, and on their way to a Christless eternity. Jesus loves them, went to an old rugged cross to die and pay for their sin, and today they can be gloriously saved. Bless the message in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this is the last of our series of messages, The Miracle of Christ, and I wanted to just preach this message to you this morning entitled, Traveling Without the Star. The wise men had traveled from the east, as we've just read, in search of the Messiah. They would have traveled from Persia, which is present-day Iran, and they would have journeyed like 1,500 miles to get to Bethlehem. It was a long journey. It would be like journeying, walking from here to Miami, Florida. So you can understand that's a long walk, wouldn't you say amen? And so they set out in search of the Messiah. Now these men were men of great learning and men of great understanding. And part of that, well, a number of things. We're going to see that they had, I believe, they had studied the Scriptures. One of the things that Ethan didn't announce this morning was that in the coming new year, beginning on Sunday nights, we're going to preach through the book of Daniel. And now Daniel had been taken captive, and he had been taken to Iran, to Babylon, hundreds of years before what we're reading took place. And but he would have brought the Scriptures to Babylon. And the wise men, this group of wise men here would have been really generations later, but still the same type of wise men, men who studied the Scriptures, men who studied the sciences, and men who studied astronomy. The study of astronomy all down through the ages was very important, especially for navigational purposes. And we read in the text here, we saw that they had seen a star in the east. Stars are amazing. I am by no means am I an expert on stars, but just in preparation for this message, I just did a little bit of reading with regards to stars. For instance, the closest star to us is the sun, and the immensity of the sun. Did you know that if the sun was hollow, that if you could take the earth, you could take 1,300,000 earths and fit them into the sun. So you get an idea of just how huge the sun is. But if you think that is big, there's another star called Antares. That star, you could fit 64 million of our suns into that star. So that makes our star look tiny. And if you think Antares is large, there is a star in the constellation of Hercules that you could fit 100 million of the star Antares into that star. That's a pretty big star. These stars are so huge, they couldn't fit between the earth and the sun. As I read that, you know what I thought of? It reminded me just how big our God is and just how small we are. I'm not preaching on it this morning, but I preached the message of just how big God is. The Bible reminds us that the universe, when you compare it to the bigness of God, that God could measure it from his thumb to his pinky. God is a big God, amen? Well, these wise men had studied the Scriptures, and they had undoubtedly read in the book of Numbers a Bible prophecy. If you were here last week, you remember I kind of zeroed in on the word fulfilled. And all throughout the Bible, that word fulfilled, it mentions Old Testament Bible prophecies that were fulfilled. But there are several verses, but I picked this out. Listen to this. In Numbers chapter 24 and verse 17, Moses wrote this. The Bible says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, that would be Israel, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Seth. This was a prophetic verse. Men like the wise men would have studied the Old Testament Scriptures. Remember last week we zeroed in on Actually, it was on Christmas Eve, I believe it was, on Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, where the Scripture, in fact, just flip back one page in your Bibles, look at chapter 1 in the book of Matthew, and at verse number 22. Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, there's that word, which was spoken by the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So what the Bible is saying here, this wasn't the first time that these words are found in the scriptures. We're not going to, but if we turn this morning back to the book of Isaiah, that's where these words were first recorded. God moved upon Isaiah. He penned these words 600 years before Jesus was born. So this, the birth of Christ, was a fulfilling of those scriptures. So the wise men would have known all of these verses. They would have studied these verses. And they would have seen this perhaps in Numbers chapter 24. And as we read through here, there was a star that they saw in the east. And being men who studied astronomy, all of a sudden there's this star that had never appeared before. And I'm thinking that they would have linked it to Old Testament prophecy. But the title of the message is Traveling Without the Star. So let me suggest to you a couple of misconceptions about the wise men before we get into the message. First, number one, one of the great misconceptions about the wise men and the Christmas account is that the Bible never says that there were three wise men. We don't know how many wise men there were. We know there were three gifts, and so I think everyone assumes there were three wise men. But this was probably a large contingent of people that traveled from Persia. Secondly, often we think that the wise men went to the manger and they gave these gifts to Jesus or to Mary and to Joseph and to the baby Jesus at the manger. That's a misconception as well. Mary and Joseph and Jesus were long gone from the manger when the wise men arrived. We know that perhaps even Jesus could have been close to 2 years old by this time. And we say that because the edict was given a little bit later on in Matthew by Herod, who was enraged with regard to the Christ coming, that he sends troops to Bethlehem and he kills every male child that was 2 years old and younger. But the third misconception, and we probably get this from the hymn, the Christmas carol, We Three Kings, was that the wise men had a star to follow the entire way. Well, the Bible never says that. The Bible says, you'll see, that they saw a star in the east, and then I never really thought about it, but I did some extra reading on this as well, and I was surprised because, you know what, I have to honestly say, that in my mind, yeah, they saw the star and they followed the star, and however long it took them to journey this 1,500 miles, the star was leading them there. But the Bible never says that. In fact, if you really, as we get into this, it seems as if they saw the star, and men who were men of astronomy would have charted the approximate location of where that star was. But then the Bible really, as you look at it, seems to indicate there was no star again until they got to Bethlehem. And so that's the theme of the message this morning, traveling without the star. Because there are a lot of times in our Christian lives where we are looking for, hoping for some sign, and we want to follow a sign, and we want to see. Sometimes we just have to travel through life without a star. You understand what I'm saying? Look, let me just show you. Look in verse 9. So when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east. So in other words, the scriptures seem to indicate when they were in the east, in Persia, they saw the star. Went before them till it stood over where the young child was. Now, you might read that and think, well, wait a minute. It says that went before them. No. Go back now, if you will, to verse number 10. Or go to verse number 10. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. So it seems to indicate, well, all of a sudden, there's the star again. Go back to verse 2. saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." So I was surprised at how many, I must have looked at 6 or 7, or maybe 8 different Bible commentators, and all of them felt the same way, that the star was there in the east. It disappeared. When they got to Jerusalem, they began to ask some questions, and we'll look at this in a few minutes. And then they traveled to Bethlehem, and then when they got to Bethlehem, all of a sudden, then again, the star reappeared to them. So that's the idea of traveling without the star. And when you think about it, the Bible is filled with examples of men and women that God asks to do things, but he sends them out, but there's no star for them to follow, per se. He's not leading them along every step of the way. For instance, Abraham. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 12 that God came to Abraham, and God said to Abraham, "Abraham, get thee out of thy country, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee." You know that God never told Abraham exactly where he was going to go. He just says, "Abraham, you are going to leave Haran, and I'm going to bring you to a place. I'm going to bring you to a place called Canaan." And so the Bible says that Abraham obeyed God, and he followed God. He also told Abraham, "Abraham, I'm going to multiply thy seed." In fact, he said, "Thy seed shall be as the stars of the heavens." Abraham was 75 years old when God told him that. Now, I know in the Bible they lived longer, but by the time Abraham was 75 years old, Sarah, I guess, would have been 65 years old, they were beyond childbearing years. And yet God, in fact, Abraham's original name was Abram, the father of many, and God changed his name from Abram to Abraham, the father of a great multitude. And I've always kind of chuckled to myself when Abram went to his family and said, "God's changed my name from the father of many to the father of a great multitude." When Abraham and Sarah went around, they must have said, "What is going on with Abraham? Doesn't have any kids." And it wouldn't be until 25 years later that Abraham and Sarah had a child. But what I'm saying is God said to them, go. And there was no star for them to follow. There was, sometimes we travel through life and we just have to learn to trust God. Think of another example, Noah. The earth was a mess in the days of Noah. And so the Bible says that God, well, I'll read it, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. "By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house." So Noah begins to prepare an ark. And it had never rained on the earth. And for 120 years, Noah, we don't know in the scriptures, all we know is that God appeared to Noah. He gave Noah all of the plans of what God wanted for Noah to do. We don't know if Noah ever heard from God again until the ark was finished and God said, "Noah, it's now time to get into the ark." So for 120 years, there was no star, if you will, for Noah to follow. And we could go on. There are many, many examples in the Bible. So you know what that's called? That's called walking by faith. In fact, I read to you out of Hebrews chapter 11. That is the great faith chapter, sometimes called the Faith Hall of Fame in the Bible, where it lists all the great men and women who walked by faith. I just want you to understand this morning that as we move forward into 2019, listen, there's not always going to be a star for you to follow, a sign from God. In fact, we should be careful with regards to that. What do we do when there's no star? What do we do when there are uncertainties and perplexing times? The unknown. The wise men just left. They saw the star. Let's head to where that star is. They got to Jerusalem. They asked that question. Where is he? He's born King of the Jews. So what do we do? Well, three things this morning in the message. Number one, listen, learn to follow God. Amen? just learn, just like the wise men, just learn to follow God. Look at Matthew chapter number 2, and look, if you will, at verse number 5. They said unto him, these were the priests. Well, let me back up to verse 4. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded, this is Herod, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. Now look at these next words. For thus it is written by the prophet. Listen, learn to follow God's words. And then the next verse is another Old Testament prophecy found in the book of Micah, written some 500 or so years before Jesus was born. Look at verse 6. So the Old Testament prophet Micah said this, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. These were the scriptures. I think the wise men knew these scriptures. Just like Isaiah had prophesied that a virgin would be with child, Micah had prophesied that the town in which he would be born would be Bethlehem. All of this is coming to fulfillment. And we learn from this the importance of, let's just follow God's word. You know what? You can never go wrong following God's word. Never. It is written. The scriptures say in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, listen now, for all scripture is given by inspiration. And it's profitable for doctrine. Those are the things that are right. All scripture is given by inspiration, is probable for doctrine, for instruction, for correction, for reproof. And the man of God is truly furnished. The Bible furnishes us and equips us. If nothing else, as you look into 2019, just submit yourself to the Word of God. Just say, God, I want to follow your word. I want to be like an Abraham. I want to be like a Noah. I want to be like a Moses. I want to be like a Daniel. I want to be like an Isaiah. I want to be like a Paul. I want to be like a Peter. Follow God's word, because there's going to be times when you're just not sure where God's taking you, but always remember that God is taking you somewhere. Follow God's word. Look on your handout, 2 Peter 1:19. For we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto, look at these next several words. Whereunto ye do well that ye take heed. Well, those are great words of advice. Take heed to the word of God, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. So you're going to go through some dark times. I noticed on the internet or on Facebook this past week, one of our folks here at church, they have kind of gone through a dark 3 or 4 weeks, 5 weeks. There was sickness, friends and family members that had passed away. This is part of life. These are dark times. These are times we especially need to follow God's word. But always learn this, and always remember this, learn to follow God's word in the good times. It'll be much easier to follow them in the difficult times. Because that's the kind of God that we have. That, listen, life is, it's a journey. And, you know, I mentioned to you that these men had traveled from here. It'd be like traveling from here down to Miami. You know, I think about every summer we have people who hike through North Adams. They're on the Appalachian Trail, which starts in Georgia and goes all the way to Maine. That's kind of the same kind of a length of the journey of the wise men. But people who have ever hiked, whether it's the Appalachian Trail or just hiked, there's mountaintops and there's valleys. There's level ground. There's streams to cross. There's just different things along the way. Well, in many ways, life is that way. Just learn to follow God. Learn to follow God and His Word. A great writer said this, we seek not the star of inward feelings or outward signs, but Jesus himself. Let me just stop there. Ethan preached on this, I think, a week or two ago. Be very careful that your faith isn't based on inward feelings or outward signs, but it's based on the Word of God. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We're talking this morning about walking by faith. He went on to say, as we follow God's Word, the closer we are drawn to His brightness, the more we're conformed into His image. Following God's Word. It is written. It is written. God's Word allows us to arrive at His destination, not our destination. The wise men needed and wanted to find the Messiah, the Christ. Where is He, they said? Where is He that is born King of the Jews? How did they know He was the King of the Jews? Well, I read to you one verse out of the book of Numbers. But they would have known the other scriptures as well. These men were following God's Word. Now, secondly, you notice this. So we follow God's Word, and to do so, we must then remain faithful to God's Word. We remain faithful. You know, there's a group here in the scriptures that I read that were supposed to be men of God's Word, but were not even faithful to God's Word. Look again in chapter 2 and verses 4, 5, and 6. So, well, let me start in verse 3. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Herod was troubled because it threatened his authority. And when he had gathered all of the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. He said, well, I'm going to go to the religious leaders. They're supposed to be the fellows that are studying the Word of God. They're supposed to be the ones that have all the answers. They're supposed to be the ones that know what the Bible says. And they said unto him, verse 5, well, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets. But I thought about the wise men. I thought about the scribes and the priests. The scribes and the priests are really an example of unfaithfulness. Did they not see the star in the east? Did they not know? You know, there's no account that these scribes and Pharisees ever traveled down to Bethlehem. It's as if they're ignoring what the Word of God says. You know, you and I can ignore what God's Word says too. We need to be careful of that. But if we're going to be followers of God's Word, let's remain faithful to God's Word. Look on your handout, Revelation chapter 22 and several verses I recorded for you here. The Bible says, and behold, I come quickly, that's Jesus, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. The next verse, I didn't have enough space to fit it on here, is where Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am the first and the last. And then Jesus said this, look at verse 14. Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they might have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. It's the encouragement of just following God's Word and being faithful to God's Word. And then another verse that I left out, there's a verse that says there, because outside of the gates, the Bible says there are whoremongers and murderers and liars and drunkards. In other words, people who don't follow God's Word and people who, obviously, they don't follow God's Word are not faithful. And then the Bible says this, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David. So I say to you this morning that we may not have a star in the east, but we have a star that sits in the right hand on the throne, at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven. Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And can I also submit to you this morning that we might not have a physical star in the heavens, but you hold in your hand a bright and shining star right here. Just follow God's word and be faithful to it, and God will bring you to the destination where God wants you to be. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And can I say that not every day of your Christian life is going to be an exciting day, but it must be a faithful day. I am always amazed when I'm getting a little bit down and things aren't quite as exciting as I think maybe they ought to be. I think of Noah, and I think of the ark. Several years ago when I helped Hannah move to Kentucky, on the way there we stopped at they built a life-size replica of the ark in Kentucky. So the ark that Noah built, it was, if I remember correctly, 450 feet long. I remember it's 75 feet tall and 50 feet wide. That's a huge sailing vessel. And so I'm sure when Noah got the news to build this ark and they began to gather the wood and all the excitement, and even the excitement of the wood and the ark being finished, but then God told them this. You were to take pitch, and you were to pitch the inside of the hull and the outside, as well as the deck. Now you just think about the square footage of a ship that's 450 feet long, 75 feet high, 50 feet wide, and you now have to take pitch. It's like a tar-like material. You don't spray it on. You take a trowel, you take this tar, and you begin to smear it on this ship. I think I did the calculations correctly, but just envision, if you would, 3 football fields and somebody handing you a trowel and a bucket of tar and saying, now start smearing this on, and when you're done, you're done. That would have been an awfully boring job, don't you think? Day in and day out, day in and day out, day in and day out, day in and day out. Did I say day in and day out? Day in and day out, day in and day out. But you know what? When the rains came and Noah and his family got into the ark, if they hadn't pitched, the ark would have sank. I'm saying to you, sometimes following God's word, there are exciting times. But remain faithful when those times aren't as exciting. Some of you really have only been coming to church for 6, 7, 8 months. Can I say this? Some maybe a little bit less. I've been pastoring here since 1990. I was a member of the church for 8 years prior to that. This has been my observation. Most newcomers to church and new believers for the first 5 or 6 months are very faithful. But then some of the newness and some of the excitement begins to wear off. And it's kind of like a make or break time. And I've just seen it in all my years. 5 or 6 months, it's not quite as new, where once there was excitement and everything. No, those are the times you need to remain faithful. And those exciting times will come again. But it seems often that the enemy, Satan himself, really wants to discourage people right about that time. Just an observation. Learn to stay faithful. It's not always exciting. And then lastly, trust God's plan. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 on our handout as we finish. The Lord your God hath multiplied you, and behold, you are as this day as the stars of heaven for multitude. The Lord God of your fathers make you 1,000 times so many more as you are, and bless you as he hath promised you. God, this is taking place over 500 years after Abraham had been promised that his seed would multiply as the stars of heaven. This is the children of Israel that God had multiplied. This now is when they have left their captivity from Egypt. And the Bible reminds us here in these verses that God had made a promise, and as He had promised, He did what He had said He would do. But as I read that, I thought about this, and I thought about the children of Israel for 40 years wandering through the wilderness. They had a physical manifestation of God every day. They had the pillar of fire by night, and they had the cloud by day. So understand this. Even with the pillar of fire at night and the cloud by day, they still didn't always follow God. They still weren't always faithful to God. They still didn't trust God's plan. In fact, the reason they were traveling through the wilderness for 40 years is because they didn't trust God's plan. So somebody might say, yeah, well, if I had a pillar of fire at night and a cloud by day, I would always follow God. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't, because they didn't. Learn to follow God's word. Learn to remain faithful to God's word. And just trust God's plan for your life. And sometimes we get off track, and God's got to put us back on track. Listen, I've been serving the Lord here since 1982. In my life, God has had to get me back on track at times. It's easy to drift. And then to get back. One of the reasons we're here this morning is so we can sit regularly under the teaching and preaching of God's word. And God, then when we're starting to drift, we hear something in a message, or we're here on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night, and God uses that to bring us back. Bring us back. Because there's not always going to be a star to follow, at least a visible manifestation of God. God is faithful. God has a plan and God for your life, and it's a faith journey. It's a faith journey. It's called walking by faith. And I want to tell you this morning, whatever you're dealing with, you might not be dealing with anything. Everything right now in your life might be going great. So it's also been my observation that it doesn't always go that way all the time. And sooner or later, there's going to be something going on. You just need to trust God. God knows. God loves you. God cares. I put on your handout this last verse, Amos 5 and verse 8, another Old Testament prophet. Amos, he was called the cowboy prophet. And he said this, "Seek him that maketh the seven stars of Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name." Just seek him. The Lord is his name. The Lord is his name. So you have to, you know, the old cliche with regards to the wise men is, wise men still seek him today. And that's an old cliche, but it's true. It's true. Seek the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek him each and every day of your life. Every day, follow God's word. Every day, remain faithful to God. Every day, just trust that whatever you're dealing with, God has a plan. Bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our heads bowed this morning. First, let me say this, if you're here and you've never received Christ as your Savior, God's plan was to send His Son into the world to save you from your sin. He went to an old rugged cross and He shed His blood on that cross to die and pay for your sin. That is the only way your sins can be forgiven. That is the only way that you can go to heaven, is to put your faith and trust in Christ, because we're born into this world as sinners. And we could never be religious enough, good enough, do enough, pay for our sin. And And I want to tell you this morning, if you've never called upon Christ to be your Savior, He loves you. That's the plan. You'll turn from your sin and turn to Christ. He'll save you. Perhaps you're here this morning and you say, I've never done that, preacher. I've never asked Jesus Christ to save me. I've never done that. This morning, if that's who you are, right where you sit, you have to admit to God that you're a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You have to believe that Jesus died and He paid for your sin. You have to call upon Him. He loves you. That's why He came into this world, because He loves you. That's why He went to the cross. Right now, call upon Him. Lord, I am a sinner, and I believe, Jesus, that You died, You paid for my sin. And I don't understand everything, but Jesus, this morning I understand. I want to put my trust in You. I come to You for forgiveness. This morning, with our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, if that's you, and just now you called upon Him, if you do this, I'm not going to point you out or come to you and embarrass you, but if you ask Jesus to be your Savior, never did that before. You just slip up your hand and put it down. I've never done that, but today, preacher, I did that. Today I ask you to be my Savior. Then Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, there's not always going to be a star to follow. But follow His word. That's our star. Remain faithful. And that star shines even brighter. Trust God's plan, and He'll light your path each and every day. Bless now, Lord, this invitational hymn as we conclude this service in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.